Jason happy birthday. Amen. Can you all wish him a happy birthday? Pastor, happy birthday. Lady Pastor, thank you so much. Thank you for the privilege, for the opportunity. We know that you're watching live, Facebook Live. I would like to welcome the e-church, those worshiping with us online. You're welcome. Tonight, I just want to bring us a word, more like my personal meditation, my personal encounter with God, what he's been dealing with me on, and I trust that it will bless you. Amen. I want to start by taking you to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. We can read Revelation chapter 3. I'll be doing a bit of preaching and teaching, but I want you to be expectant tonight. Be expectant tonight. Amen. I want us to start reading from verse number 14. Is it coming up on the screen? I hope I'm not blocking the screen. I'll read from the New American Standard Bible. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this, I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. And you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich. And white garments so that you may clothe yourselves, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him, and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne. As I also overcame and sat down with my Father, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. Reading this passage of scripture, God started pointing something out to me. And it's something that we've seen happen, we've seen it in our lives, but we've not been able to accurately diagnose what the problem is. And it is what I call spiritual apathy. Spiritual apathy. Apathy talks about a state of feeling completely indifferent about what is going on around you. Apathy talks about a coldness. Apathy talks about, like I said, indifference, casual. Different from depression. Apathy is characterized by, you know, indifference, like I said, to pretty much everything. You know, you don't generally feel enthusiastic about things, but at the same time, you're not sad about anything. You're just there. You've gotten to a point where, you know, you just come to church. You've gotten to a point where you just wake up and say your devotion, you pray before you sleep, but there's this indifference. There's this casualness about things. You're there, but you're not there. You are saved, but really, you're just saved. And the thing about apathy is that it can show up in different forms, in different areas of our lives. It could be at work. Cast your mind back a few years ago when you were looking for a job. Everybody knew you were looking for a job. You bothered everybody. You rang everybody. You sent your CV everywhere. You didn't sleep on time. You were preparing your CV. You were tweaking it. You would anybody that met you, you would tell them about your search for a job. But now, you know, you just come into work. You're not even bothered. You're not afraid whether they sack you, whether they don't sack you. You know, you're just dragging yourself through life. Or it could be in your marriage. Before you got married, you know, you go on dates, you know, movie nights, you know, you go to church, you took the word seriously, two of you prayed, you know, it was about what's God's will for our lives, where are we going, you know, there was energy, you know, before you couldn't wait to go home after work, you know, you couldn't wait to welcome your husband, you know, back, your spouse back, you know, there was a lot of fun fare, you know, you before you sleep, you know, you freshen up, you know, now you just... tie 2.5 hair scarf and wrapper and just, you know, your tummy is coming out, you know, you're not bothered. Or probably it's not your marriage, it could just be you. You know, you had goals, you had ambition, you set goals, you wanted to achieve something. It could be at the beginning of the year, you know, you had your eye on something. But all of a sudden, you're just indifferent. You can't be bothered. You can't be bothered anymore. And the interesting thing is that you're still there, but you're not there. Apathy. The passion has waned. The strong feeling, the emotion is decreasing. But you can't even actually put your hand onto what it is. It could be when the kids came, you were excited to have the kids. You know, if anybody wanted to touch them, you go, no, I don't. You wash your hand, clean your hand. After a few months, before people say good morning, you hand over the kids. you can't wait to pass them on. Apathy affects us in different ways. But spiritual apathy is the most dangerous. It's affecting our generation so much so that Jesus, as recorded in Revelation chapter 3, said, "You are neither hot, neither are you cold. I know your deeds. You're committed, you're working church. You carry the chairs, you do everything, you set up, you sing in the choir, you lead one department or the other. I know your works. But you are actually lukewarm, you are cold, you are indifferent. To the passers-by, to people, to the leadership, you're still there, but you're no longer there. Why? Because in our generation, in the church of this day and age, it's about... we're measured by the number of people in our churches. We are rich. He says, "You are rich." You say, "I am rich. I've become wealthy." Our Christianity now is measured by what you have and what you don't have. Our Christianity is measured by how much we think God has answered us by physical and material things. But in Jesus' analogy, in Jesus' diagnosis. It says you have nothing. Though you are saying I'm rich, though you're saying I've got a job, though you're saying I'm well placed, I'm connected, but Jesus said your net worth is nothing. He says you do not realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So apparently there are two things going on here. There's one, my own analysis, my own self-appraisal. I'm appraising myself. And then the second thing is that Jesus is also appraising me. And the two don't match up. Because on one hand, I'm saying I'm okay. I can pay for my mortgage. You know, I've got that. But Jesus is saying I'm blind, I'm poor, I'm wretched, I'm naked. And he's advising us to buy gold from him. So I started to dig a little bit deeper. And the first thing that struck me is there is the apathy. There's the indifference that comes unconsciously. We don't know when it happens to us. I want us to turn our scriptures, our Bibles, to Luke chapter 2. Let's start reading from verse 42. Or let's start reading from 41. It says, now his parents went to Jerusalem. That's Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning, after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents were unaware of it. But supposed him to be in the caravan and went a day's journey. And they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Thank God the parents of Jesus are not living at this time. Because social services would have taken Jesus from them. The police, they would have had some questions to answer. But is that not the state of affairs with us? We are so busy that we don't even realize that our children are growing up. We are so busy trying to make money that we don't realize that our marriages are breaking down. We are so busy that we don't realize that we have lost touch with Jesus. We have lost touch with our calling. We go like, you know what, let me just take this job. I'll do this job maybe for a year or two, and then I'll go and pursue my goal. And 25 years, you're still there. Would you call this an oversight? How can a mother and a father forget their child? Some of us would throw stones and blame the parents of Jesus. But is that not your case and my case? Despite the relationship and the connection with Jesus, we become indifferent. We become cold and casual with Jesus. We come into church without a reverence that we are before the Lord. We complain about everything. We are unthankful. We are ungrateful. We rejoice when our enemy falls down and when God is dealing with our enemies. We celebrate. We pray prayers that are not scriptural. It's about me, myself, and I asking, receiving, but never giving to Jesus. I did an analysis for us of how many hours we spend in church. How many hours? we spend in church in a week. But when we come in still, we are so oblivious of the fact that he's still there and we are carried away, our minds and our hearts somewhere else, forgetting Jesus behind. Probably you have left Jesus and it's not deliberate. But the fact is that you've left him behind. You've forgotten about him. We now leave from one problem to another. We only come in when we need something from him. No relationship, it's gone. The passion has waned. The apathy is on a different level. The indifference. You are not bothered. You are not. You are there, but you are not there. No passion for Jesus. You can't even realize that. You remember the last time you lived sin-free for a day. We lie without even it affecting us anymore. It's become, it's just a joke. No more consecration. There's no difference between us and people who don't believe. We cry like people who don't have hope. We pray like people who are worshiping idols. We're afraid of dying. If you say to a believer, oh, wow, you know, you die and go to heaven, they say, God forbid. Why? Because actually the state of the heart is that we have forgotten that relationship with Jesus. Well, the scripture, the men of old said, to be absent in the body means to be present with him. Do not fear the man or the woman that can harm the body, but fear him that would destroy both the body and the soul in hell. Fear. We raise prayer points about fear. We are no more sold out to Jesus. We have left him somewhere. And my question to us tonight is, where have you left him? The question I was asking myself, where have you left him? In the business of the day. They went to the same temple. They went to the feast. It had become a feast. Church service had become church service. There was no passion to tell people about Jesus and the second coming. There's no preparedness. Everything is about this life and this life. Or maybe let's look at the other type of lukewarmness or the other type of indifference. This we could blame on the activities. This we could blame on other people. Oh, I thought he was in the caravan. This we could pass the buck. Yes, we're still coming to church. Yes, we're still in service. But our hearts are far from God. We've left Jesus somewhere. You're still in the marriage, but you've left long time ago. You're still in that house, but your heart, like the prodigal son, is away from home. You can't wait to get out from under the cover of your parents. You can't wait to get out under the spiritual covering. You can't wait to change church. You can't wait to go to another place where you think it's happening. But really, the truth of the matter is the selfishness of our hearts. We are not pursuing after Jesus. We are pursuing where we can get more of the material things. Let's look at Genesis chapter 25. Let's look at another case. Verse 29. So Jacob had cooked stew. So when Jacob had cooked stew, Esau came in from the field and was famished. And Esau said to Jacob, Please let me have a swallow of that red stuff there, for I'm famished. Therefore, his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, first, sell me your birthright. Esau said, behold, I'm about to die. So of what use then is the birthright to me? And Jacob said, first swear to me. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew. And he ate and drank and rose and went on his way. Thus, Esau despised his birthright. The other type of apathy comes from waiting on God and waiting and feeling that nothing is happening. Esau came back from the field and was tired, was hungry. Peter, when Jesus met Peter and said, can I borrow your boat? Peter said, yeah, okay. Jesus said, launch out into the deep. God there said, cast your net. Peter said, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. I've been coming to church since I gave my life to Christ, since I got married, since I came to this country, since I started following you, nothing has happened. And I am famished. I am tired. Have you realized that when you're tired, you are so indifferent, you can't sleep anywhere? If you're like me, you come back, you don't even take off your tie, you just lie down and crash. You could be driving, you could drive from here to Manchester without even knowing when you got there. The only time you just realize that sometimes your car goes left and goes right, but you're just tired. Esau had good reason to be tired. But the sad thing is that he had become casual about what his birthright was. If I ask you what is birthright, if I ask you, the first thing you tell me is that it's an intangible thing. You can't hold it. You don't see it. It's more like a long-term investment that probably your father will die and leave you with nothing but with debt and probably his funeral cost. He didn't make provision for all that. So when you talk about birthright, you're really wondering, you are not seeing this thing. So to Esau, it was easy for him to say, you know what? You know, short-term gain. We're here in the now. Let's just give me food. Let me eat. Is that not what we do with the call of God upon our lives? If I ask you, what's the value of your salvation? If I ask you today, now, what's the value of your salvation? Without going into giving me any spiritual jargon, what is the value of your salvation? What's the value of peace? That you can come into church, you can walk about. What is the value of peace? Just having peace at home. What's the value of praying in tongues? What's the value of the anointing? What's the value of the grace of God upon your life? What's the value of the guidance and the direction of the Holy Spirit? What's the value of angels keeping charge over you? What's the value of having God in your life? That's what the world asks you every day. They ask you, what's the value? And because most times we can't explain it, we can't quantify it, it's easy for us to mortgage it. What's the value of putting your husband or putting your wife away and marrying some other person? In the short term, it doesn't look like much has happened. In the short term, what does it cost to just leave your children by themselves? What's the value of leaving your wife and leaving your husband to do whatever they want to be and two of you to be separate and live separately? What's the value? In the short term, it doesn't look like much. Really, it's not much. But in the long term, the scripture says that Esau despised, looked down. What does despise mean? Look down, see of no relevance, of no value. There was no value. Some of us don't value the relationships we have. We don't value the people God brings your way. We don't value the word of God. We don't value where we are. We don't value the purpose of God upon your life. We don't value the anointing. We don't value the call of God on our lives. Because if we do value, if we value it, we will behave differently. We wouldn't have the coldness and the lukewarmness that we have. The value system is different. Jesus says in the book of Revelation 3 where we read, you're saying I'm rich, I've got this, I've got that. But to him, he's saying you are poor. Spiritual apathy, a coldness, especially when you've done something, the same thing for a long time. If you keep doing the same thing for a long time, most times you despise it. It loses the value. The children of Israel, you wonder why they kept forgetting God. You wonder why when Jesus came, they couldn't realize that he was the one that was promised. Why? Because they'd done the same thing year after year. You come to church, we sing two fast songs, one slow one, you know, pastor preaches. So it's become mundane. It's become the same. You can come for 4 services and you will not even remember an encounter God had with you. You could be serving, move the chairs, move everything, but God doesn't move you one bit. The most interesting is, especially when we're singing worship songs, my wife will know what I'm talking about. We could be singing a song like, we bow down, and people are standing. You're singing, we bow, I bow down, but you're standing. Why? Because there's a disconnect. To you, it's become a song. It is no longer worship. There's no connection. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift my hands on high. But your hand is down, probably checking your phone. Why? Because there's a disconnect. Let's pray that the kingdom of God will be spread abroad in this nation. We're not. We're going to please raise the prayer point where God will give us job. Just pray for your job. Someone is going to get £5,000. Hey, makayaka lapaka. Praise God. Praise God. I want us to look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is a communion and healing service, and I pray that the Lord will commune with us, share personal things with us, and that the Lord would heal our hearts and help us find where we have missed Him. Paul speaking says, in verse 3, For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to hear, to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. That time is here. We pick and choose who we listen to. We select who talks to us. If it's a message on dying to self, crucifying the flesh, dying to your own ways, we don't want to hear it. If the Lord comes to you and says to you that being a glutton is sin, eating too much is a sin, we don't want to hear those kind of messages. If the Lord talks to us about anything that doesn't affect our flesh, we're happy. But so far as it touches our flesh, we say, no, that is not the gospel. We argue about things that are explicitly written in the scriptures. We still argue about tithes. The only reason is that you don't want to pay your tithes. Submit to your husband. No, they must submit. It's just because it's a spirit of stubbornness. Love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself. It's just because we're arguing it because it is affecting our flesh. We want to give our lives to Jesus and still live for ourselves and to ourselves. You still want to give your life to Christ and maintain your identity, your own identity. So we get YouTube preachers that preach something that encourages our flesh. Friends, sin is one of the things that causes us to be indifferent and apathetic. Sin makes us casual with the holy things of God. Sin makes us indifferent about the things that are valuable in our lives. It's sin that will make you not value your marriage, the sanctity of your marriage. It's sin that will make you and I do what we want to do and still follow God. So Jesus says, in Luke chapter 22, Luke 22, 18, says, reading from verse 17, and when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of this of the fruit of the vine from now until the kingdom of God comes. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Other translations put it as, other translations say, do this in remembrance of me. But the King James and the ESV says, this do. This do. So the difference between this do and do this, one is a command. If I tell you do this, I'm commanding you, giving you an instruction, I'm commanding you to do something without probably explaining it. But this do, he's giving you the explanation. This do in remembrance of me. One of the cure of indifference and apathy and being casual about things is your ability to remember. Being casual about your job, or be casual about your marriage, or be casual about your commitment, or being casual about the things, anything, will be cured the day you remember. You can cast your mind back. Why you married the husband you married. Why you said yes. Why you took up that job. And in this, Jesus is saying, this do in the communion, at the communion table, is a place of memorial, is a place where as you're doing it, he wants us to remember the price he paid. He wants us to remember what is at stake. He wants us to remember that we've been bought with a price, a high price, and that is the life of Christ. He wants us to remember that heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will never pass away. He wants us to remember that Jesus, scripture, I stumbled onto something. The Bible says Jesus, the judge of the living and the dead. The judge of the living and the dead. A lot of people are committing suicide, probably as an escape. But no, Jesus is the judge of the living and the dead. There's no escape. Heaven and earth, we will all stand before God to give account. A far more detailed account than the HMRC will ask you. A far more detailed account than any man can ask. No wonder he says, even avoid foolish jesting. That doesn't lead to righteousness. We will give account of everything we say, we think, or we do. And Jesus is saying, do this in remembrance of me. If we go back to Revelation let's look at Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, 1 to 4. Revelation 2, 1 to 4. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardship for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. do this to remember the first love we had. Do this to remember why you gave your life to Christ. Do this to remember why you come for fellowship. Do this to remember Jesus. Do this to remember your birthright. Bible say Esau sought his birthright. He sought for it with crying, with so much crying, but it had gone. It had gone. Jacob had taken it. Our birthright is Christ crucified. Our birthright is faith. We are going to be saved through faith. Our salvation is through faith. Our inheritance is not of this world. Our inheritance is in heaven, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. 1 Peter chapter 1. That is where our inheritance is. That is where the goal is. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And he says we should do what? Remember, repent, and renew our minds. Verse 5. Let me see. Is it Revelation 2, 5? Remember the height from which you have fallen. The first thing is remember, which is what Jesus said in Luke chapter 22. Do this and remember. Let's remember what we have lost. What is it that you've lost? What is it that I've lost? I was asking myself, what is it that I've lost? Is it the zeal for the kingdom? Is it the prayer, my prayer life? Is it the studying of the word? Is it proclaiming Jesus? Is it holding on to righteousness? Is it my first love? Where I met Jesus, where he encountered me. What is it that you've lost, friends? I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to take you back to where your axe head had fallen. What is it that you've lost? Your marriage have lost. You've lost in your home. You've lost as a person. We are losing our dignity. We are losing our purpose. We are losing ourselves in this generation. We are confused. We don't know whether we are male or female. We don't know what we are. We don't know what we want. We are not satisfied with who we are. We are going under the knife, cutting ourselves because we don't like ourselves. What is it that we have lost? What is it that you have lost? We are sacrificing our children upon the altar of Molech. We're sacrificing our children just to make a living, just to earn money. But we get home and our children are gone, our family is gone. What is it that we, you and I have lost? Remember, the first step is remembrance. You have to ask the Holy Spirit. Bible said when he comes, he will bring to your remembrance. You have to remember, what is it you've lost? Your passion for the gospel, your passion, the passion for your family, praying for salvation of souls. When you hated sin and iniquity, when you could not tolerate sin. Say the next thing, you have to remember, we have to remember where we're fallen. Why are we indifferent? You're not bothered, nothing moves you. You come to church, nothing moves you. Then he said, we have to repent and do the things you did at first. Jesus says, remember, this do in remembrance of me. This body is broken for you. My blood is shed for you. Repent. Change your mindset. Change your thinking. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. And we have to renew our minds. I want us to pray. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, 5 and 6, it says, and you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. Do not be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. If you are without discipline, you are illegitimate children and not sons. All discipline of the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Friends, can we allow the Lord correct us today? People say, oh, love, love God. Jesus is love. Jesus is love. No, why are you criticizing me? No, he loves you, but he disciplines. He corrects. He reproves. Reprove means he tells you off sometimes. He scolds you. Some of us don't even know when Jesus is frowning at us. You know the way a parent will frown when you're doing something? Your mom or your dad will give you that look. We don't even know when Jesus is giving us that look. I want you to ask the Lord to bring to your remembrance what is it that you've lost. What have you and I lost? Is it the passion of Christ? The excitement? What have we lost? What have you lost? You've lost what Jesus said concerning you. You've lost what Jesus said concerning you. You are worried about what people are saying now. You have lost what he said. Jesus did not lose it. When the devil came to him and said, if you are the Son of Christ, turn these stones to bread. Jesus said, no, don't do that. I know what the Father said about me. I'm not going to do anything to prove a point to you. I know who I am. I'm made in the image and the likeness of God. I'm the Son of the Most High. Have you lost what Jesus said about you? You are fearfully and wonderfully made, designed, crafted in the image of Christ. You've lost what Jesus said about you, that you go through the fire, he will be with you. You go through the flood, he will be with you. You've forgotten what Jesus said. That in this life we'll suffer many persecutions, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Have you forgotten what Jesus said? Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Have you forgotten what he said? That the life of man is not measured by the abundance of things he has in the bank. You've forgotten what he said. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You've forgotten. And you've become lukewarm. You've forgotten that the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sins. No matter what you've done, just press the reset button. The blood of Jesus, confess. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and you'll be saved. Through confession comes salvation. Yes, you know you believe, but you never say it. You never confess. You never confess what Jesus has done for you. You murmur about it, you complain about it, but you never confess. I am the righteousness of Christ. It is well with my soul. If 10,000 will fall by my left, 1,000 by my right, none will come near my dwelling. Oh, might be cast down, but not destroyed. There's a lifting. There's a lifting. My inheritance is not of this world. Heaven, the earth is not my home. Heaven is mine. You've forgotten the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You're asking different people for ideas, but you never ask the Holy Spirit. You despise the rebuke and the correction of Jesus. You become a lord and a lady unto yourself. You've lost the access into his presence. You are covering your sins with fig leaves when the blood of Jesus is there. You've forgotten the blessing, the peace, and the liberty that is in Christ. You've lost the fellowship of the brethren. What is it? Let's remember. And I just want you to repent. Today, I just remember that, wow, this is where I've fallen. And I said, Lord, can we pray? Can we just say, Lord? Lord, I call upon you for your salvation. Lord, my axe head has fallen into the water. Lord, my axe head, I've lost my peace. I've lost my joy. I've lost myself. Lord, I ask for your mercy. Lord, I repent. I'm now, my value judgment is wrong, is skewed. Lord, I'm always thinking, Bible say these men, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5, these men think that godliness is for worldly gain. Godliness is not for material gain. That is why you say, oh, I come to church, I do this, and God, you have not done this for me. No. Uncle AY, please, can you pass the communion round? Please, this do in remembrance of what Jesus did on the cross. Even Peter denied Jesus, but when Jesus came, Jesus said, I've already prayed for you. When thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Upon this rock I'll build my church. It's not about your mistakes. That is why you have the blood of Jesus. Just remember and repent. The blood of Jesus has been shed for your sins. And as you take it, please, there's no protocol. Deny Jesus. And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, Father, we thank you for your cup. We thank you for tonight. We thank you for the communion. We thank you for your blood. We thank you for your body. He said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is broken, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup is poured out for you. This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. I just want you to give God thanks, and I want you to ask him to bring to your remembrance everything he has said concerning you. Every gap in your understanding of the God, the Word of God, every gap, every comparison with people, you are not comparing yourself with people, comparing your church with other church, comparing your membership with other membership. Let that all stop. Let us focus on Jesus. Let's remember where we have fallen. The race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. I want you to remember Jesus. The parents of Jesus remembered that they left him behind. They searched and couldn't find him, and they went back. Father, tonight we go back to the table of communion. Remember that you paid the price for us. Remember that your blood was shed for the chastisement of our peace was upon you. By your stripes we have been healed and made whole. Lord, you said the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Father, we thank you for you are the bread of life. And Father, we give you praise. You are my all in all. You are the center of my life. And Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Let's break it and let's drink. And as you do, just thank him for healing you of every apathy. Can we just stand on our feet and pray in the Holy Ghost? Every indifference. You are not becoming different. The healing of God is here. As you eat and drink, the healing of God. He said he sent forth his word and his word healed them. I want you to pray concerning every area of your life. Where you were worrying before, where you were anxious, where you were panicking, where you were depressed, where you were conscious, where you were careful, I want you just to pray in the Holy Ghost. Bari panatala manana sotaya. Le panatala manana saton delebrenezan delegane branazoshaka. Rikanatana branazan tolebrenezan tolebrenehandelege. Mantala banatelebrenezatosh pranaha. Ne panatana branazatosh. Rekekekelebrenezosh. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Makaya gadabragadosh shatosh. God, you are the center of my life. You are the center of my life. Masataya gadabragadosh. Can you bring Jesus back into your life? Can you invoke the grace of the Holy Spirit? Can you rededicate yourself to the Lord? Can you give your life to Christ afresh? Cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. Cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. Why not ask the Lord to revive you, to send his fire into your marriage? Maybe your marriage is going through a dry patch. Bible said, and when they called Jesus, their wine had finished. The wine of your marriage, has it finished? Why not call on Jesus? He can turn water to wine. Has the wine of your relationship finished? Call on Jesus. He can give you fresh wine. Have you toiled all night and caught nothing? Why not call on Jesus? Are you cast down? Call on Jesus. Maybe you've lost your ability to hear the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've lost your gift of prophecy. Maybe you've lost your fellowship with God. Maybe you've lost your passion for Jesus. Maybe you've lost something. What is it that you've lost? Listen. Bible says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Peter was drowning. Peter was sinking. He didn't keep quiet. He didn't believe in his heart, oh, Jesus can save me, and just kept quiet. He cried out to Jesus. Don't be modest. Your marriage is sinking. Your business is sinking. As a single person, you are sinking in doubt, in worry, in debt. You are sinking, and you are being quiet and modest. Why not cry out to Jesus tonight? Cry out to him. Shout, and Jesus, that son of David, have mercy upon me. Friends, can you cry out to Jesus tonight? It might be your project.